Hey, this is Carlos Cavallo. Welcome back. And I want to bring you news from the far side. What's the far side? Well, it's crossing that gender line to the guy side. I want to give you what it's like. I want to talk to you about what it's like for guys on the other side of the fence and how we think and, you know, what's going through our minds. Because I'm sure that's something you're curious about. What is going through his meaty little head? Why is he so confusing? Well, the reality is he's really not that confusing if you know how simple guys actually can be. We often look for a lot more meaning behind something than is actually there. One of the things that social anthropologists have figured out about the difference between men and women is that women very often look for much more meaning behind the words. And the reason they do this is actually very practical. It's because most of the women that they grew up with, and most of the girls they grew up with and socialized with, did kind of hide the meaning behind things because you couldn't be direct. Directness in a woman is not a rewarded trait, if you will. When you're a kid, if you're too direct, well, you were thought of as being the difficult girl or the bitchy girl or the one that stood out. It was a non-desirable trait, let's just put it that way. It didn't go well with other girls. So you had to be a smooth talker. You had to be socially savvy. You had to smooth out the wrinkles and stay political in your dealings with other girls. And as a result, what happened was you knew that other girls were hiding things. So you had to be very careful how you pried information out and how you kind of squirreled around the fact that, in fact, they weren't saying everything up front. They weren't explaining everything. They weren't giving up all the goods. Now, what this means, of course, to most women is that they grow up thinking that everybody's like that, that guys are like that, that we're somehow hiding a lot of information behind our words. And sometimes we are. Sometimes guys are, because we don't want to hurt a woman's feelings. That's like a primary thing, especially for us. We want to make you happy. So we may not be as direct sometimes. And sometimes we'll just, you know, plain white lie our way through a situation. But that's not to be too concerned about, because once we're in a relationship with you, generally speaking, guys will most often tell you exactly what they're thinking. Now, I've given a much more detailed analysis of the different times when a guy does hold back a little bit on the truth, or when you should be looking further into his words. And I talk about that in the Connection Code. It's one of my banner products for those of you that are looking to have a better relationship and really create a connection with a guy. Now, what I want to talk about today is the things that make guys freak out when we're dating, okay? And they occasionally throw us for a loop. And this is good information for you to know, because you'll know what some of our sore spots are, okay? Now, the first thing is we wonder, you know what, when it comes right down to it, what if she's not that impressed with us? You know, what if she's not impressed with me? What have I done? Should I maybe show off some pictures of, my karate championship trophies or stuff like that? You know, we don't want to disappoint women. And we don't even know necessarily what it is you even like about us, but we wonder, how do we play that up and how do we impress you as well as avoid disappointing you with the things that we can't do well or don't do well? So that's one of the things that sticks out in our brains. What if you're not impressed with us? What if you don't find us interesting enough to be, well, sexually attracted to? Another thing we worry about is the conversation during the date. Things like, what if my best joke doesn't really get you to laugh? There's nothing worse for us than the thought of that. They call it the pregnant pause or the uncomfortable silence after somebody tells a joke and the other person doesn't find it all that funny. It's basically one of the most traumatic things that a guy can experience on a date. He doesn't want to experience that, but he's going to try anyway. So he's got that fear running through his head. What if he's got to go pee in the middle of dinner? You know, he's got to leave you for a minute. And what if he has to do it more than once because he's got nervous bladder syndrome, if that's even a real thing? You know, what's that going to do? What kind of impression is that going to make for you? Believe it or not, yeah, we wonder about that. We worry about being stood up. This is a huge one for guys. We definitely do not want to be sitting at the restaurant petrified of making eye contact with anybody, including our waiter, because, well, we got stood up. You didn't show up for the date. And then we got to try and play it off like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I didn't think she was going to show up anyway. No, that's a huge one for us. Getting stood up is awful for a guy. It's terrible, just as much as it is for women. What about another worry of ours, which is what we talk about, and what if you happen to bring up your ex-boyfriend? Ooh. Or what if I accidentally talk about my ex-girlfriend? Ooh. Or what if one of them shows up at the restaurant? Ah! There's nothing worse than having basically nothing to talk about. But actually, I have even worse than that. It's having to hear about or talk about an ex-boyfriend of hers that she's clearly not getting over, which tells us right off the bat we're not getting anywhere, and this date is basically a therapy session. Or we both end up going on and on about our ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriends, and it turns out to be a therapy session instead of a date. Not cool, okay? So we've got to kind of worry about that, and that's one that you can help with by don't bring up your ex. Just leave him out of the picture. He doesn't need to be there. You know, what if we take you to a restaurant and the restaurant is more expensive than we expected, or you order the lobster, or, you know, on Yelp, it's one of those $5 sign restaurants. Yeah, okay, we made the recommendation. We are fully intending to pick up the check, but you know what? Not every guy is made out of money, and if he's out there on the dating scene, he's a little cost conscious. I mean, he's not cheap. He's just got to keep in mind that he's got to be able to afford his own hobbies, his own life, and he's got to be able to court women, most of whom he may never really see again, to be quite honest. We get used to that as guys, and we become sensitive to that. That, you know, for every, I don't know, 10 dates we go out on, who knows, maybe one of those turns into a girlfriend, or at least a decent long-term girlfriend. But those are 10 dates we've got to spend upwards of, I don't know, $7,500 on, depending on the restaurant you go to. Then we worry about, oh, how much should we drink? Should we drink a little? Should we drink a lot? How much is enough? How much is enough to make us socially lubricated and interesting enough for you? Should we match whatever you're drinking? Because you're probably going to be nervous too. You're going to be drinking. You know, can we get so drunk that the date is actually no longer awkward and fun? What will happen if we have to run off and puke? You know, will we get so drunk that we're going to do a one-night stand that neither one of us remembers? So we worry about the alcohol consumption. What about the condom? Oh, yeah, guy's got to carry a condom, right? Because it's his responsibility. Even though, yes, more and more today, women do carry their own protection with them. Guys don't want to look cocky or, you know, he's being presumptuous if he basically accidentally flashes you his Trojan ribbed for her pleasure sticking out of your wallet. Well, but we don't want to also be without one, just in case. So we got to be careful about that, or that telltale ring in the wallet. I remember that from high school. Then we worry about, how do I look? You know, what did I dress myself up correctly here? Does it look like my mom did this? What does this shirt say about me as a person? You know, that's a crazy thing we have to think about. We have to actually try and think about what women interpret things, because we do know that women look at our appearance, and we do our best, and we never do probably well enough, but we try, and we try really hard, and we still end up worrying about it. Another thing we worry about when it comes to dating is, just at the very onset, is what is the best way to ask somebody out without sounding like a creepy stalker dude? Or that, on the other hand, he doesn't really care at all. He doesn't want to sound impassionate at all. So how do we kind of walk that line? Even after we find somebody that we're digging or into, you know, asking her out is a whole other question for guys, because we don't want to risk that rejection. It's big, 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 big with guys. The rejection issue is a killer. So we got to figure out, how soon do we do it? How long do we wait? Do we avoid saying anything for 3 years, like some guys do? Or do we ask her immediately? Do we get her phone number, and then we text her a lot, and then we try and build a connection? And then we wonder, okay, do I ask her out when I text her, or should I call her up and text her? Or should I maybe send her a note in a bottle, or maybe a delivery boy can stick it in her Chinese food? You know, the options here are just unbelievably complicated, and of course they stress us out. Then we worry about you. We worry about, you know, maybe this chick might be, like, not so hot, or maybe she's not so interesting. And when I say not so hot, I don't mean appearance. Like, she's not what we thought she was. She's not that attractive, or wasn't as attractive as we thought on first impression. She isn't as bubbly or giggly or cute, or we're going to see those parts of her that may not be all that attractive. So we worry about that. What if we're wasting our time? That first impression that we thought was great, well, that was a complete fluke. You know, or maybe we're both just too drunk to really notice any difference. So we worry about whether or not we're really going to be compatible, or we're really going to be interested in each other. We even worry about, well, coming down to the finish line when it comes to the end of that date. Do we kiss her? Should we kiss her? Should we try for a hug? What do we do here? Or if I do kiss her, what happens when I do? You know, am I going to forget how to do it? Am I going to be a total slob about it? Because that whole idea of the first kiss with a certain person is always such an awkward moment that your brain basically blacks out. You ever notice that? I think I've had that happen a few times. I call it first kiss blackout, where you go for the kiss, you don't even realize what happened until after you pull away, and you're like, was that good? You don't know, because you kind of blot it out. We don't want to face the fact, so we're going to have to basically try on that old skill all over again with a new person. And it's something that comes naturally with somebody that you've been with for a while, but the first time with somebody new, holy crap, that is intimidating, and, well, it freaks us out. And last but not least, there's that ultimate overriding fear of everything, which is, what if we don't get another date with this girl? I mean, there's that that relief we actually have when we got that moment on a date and we get to leave it and we get to walk home or walk back to our car and realize, whew, oh God, we know we're never going to see each other again. And it actually feels good. It feels like you just got off a roller coaster and you can just kind of finally relax. You know, it might have been a little touch and go there for a while, but, you know, we survived. But we worry even more. That's not such a bad situation. What we worry the most about is the prospect that the date goes well, which means we've got a second date, and we got to do this whole thing all over again. What if we got another date, and what if all these things happen all over again? So you see how that kind of compounds for a guy? It does. It sneaks up, and it makes our dating life, I wouldn't say miserable, but it definitely makes it much more neurotic and anxiety-ridden than it needs to be. Now, I'm going to top this off with a list of things that you think about guys that you need to stop believing in, okay? These are the truths about men that really aren't so true. First of all, this one is a double-edged sword. The myth is that men want to do the chasing. Well, guess what? We do want to do the chasing. Don't believe the Cosmo articles that tell you anything to the contrary on that. We do, but we don't want to always have to do the chasing. Or if we do, we want at least something that tells us that we are on the right track. In other words, you are more than welcome to ask us out or initiate contact, but at some point you do have to hand over the reins to us, to let us take over. Okay, we're hugely relieved when a woman makes it easy for the guy to move in or make his move. That is a huge thing, and that's one of the myths that I do want to bust, is that we don't like that. We do. But it has to be done in a way that you basically start it up, but then step back and let it happen if it's going to happen. Because you won't be happy. You won't be convinced that this guy's really into you until he starts taking action to prove it. Okay? It's just a simple fact of life. A woman doesn't believe a man loves her or is into her unless he's doing things that say, I'm into you, I love you, I want to, you know, keep this relationship going. He has to be doing that forever throughout the life of the relationship. That's why when a guy backs off too much or he starts pulling away, it's such a panicky situation for you. And I'm going to talk, I'll give you a quick tip on that at the end of this, so stay with me. Another myth of guys that women, unfortunately, buy into is that men just want no strings attached sex. That's all we want. We want fast, easy sex. Well, that's really not that true. Even the guys that do want that don't just want that. In other words, the guys that push so hard for it up front really are looking, they're using that kind of as a test in a lot of ways for themselves, even though they don't realize they're doing it. Deep down inside, yeah, they are kind of hollow. They are kind of empty. They are kind of sad, not getting what they really desire, which is a lasting connection, and they're dying for that. You know, there's countless romantic comedies that highlight this point, and it's actually true on some level. But again, the important thing we got to remember here is that just because a person is into casual sex doesn't mean that person isn't interested in a love relationship. Okay, one, it's not mutually exclusive. It's very possible for you to want both of those things. Now, another myth is the guys don't have a biological clock of their own. Well, the truth is, the guys kind of do. We have an urgency behind having kids before we get a little too far into our 40s, okay? We realize that when we get older, it's going to be much more difficult for us to have the energy to raise kids, the drive, and the just the presence and awareness. So even though we'd be better parents, we know that it's not something we want to do too late in our lives. I'll use myself as an example. I had my children after I turned 40, and I would not necessarily have changed it in any way, because I love my kids and I love where we are in this point in our lives together. The kids are starting to grow up. One of them is 6. One of them has just turned 4. So they're moving along. They're just fine. And I'm not an old fart. I'm a very spry 40-ish dude. And the truth of it is, though, that being younger, you got more energy to handle this stuff, but you also have less experience. So you're just inherently not going to be as good of a parent. So it's a trade-off, and it's a trade-off that guys recognize. Another myth, and this is a huge one, and it's the one I want to finish on today, is this myth that men are commitment phobes. Okay? It's crazy, because women today still believe this. But the only reason you believe this is because of certain behaviors you see in a guy that kind of make you think, hey, wait a minute, he must be afraid of commitment. It's not really that at all, unfortunately. And that's the thing that trips up so many people from having a wonderful relationship. And what often sends women on this kind of crazy panic spiral when a guy starts to pull away a little bit. It doesn't have anything to do with the commitment. As a matter of fact, there have been studies that men actually want to introduce the woman in their life sooner to their friends and family than women do, okay? Women are much more cautious about that. Guys are much more into bringing you into our lives. We like public affection, actually, a lot more. And we obviously want to move in to live with you sooner. But again, there's this crazy biological thing going on inside, because women are, and you can kind of call this the custodian of the egg syndrome. In other words, you control the egg. In other words, you're the one who gets pregnant, and you have to be very cautious about that. You can't just get pregnant by any guy. So it's one of those adaptive traits for guys to fall in love faster and grab the woman and take her off the market before the next guy does. So he locks her in. And again, society portrays guys as being commitment phobes. Some of it blame on us being hardwired to spread our seed, if you will. But it really depends on where in his life he is. If a dude's being a flake, well, it might mean he just doesn't want commitment right at that moment. Or, I hate to say it, with you. Sometimes that's the thing that we can't handle, is that it's not that he's a commitment phobe. It's just that it's not a good match, and he's just trying to ride it for what it's worth, if you will. And I know that sounds terrible, but sometimes we all get in relationships where it's a better than nothing situation. We know that the other person is maybe not the best match for us, so we are still happy with that. We're still okay with that. Some guys are happy with that. Some women are happy with that, knowing that the person is probably not a life match, but at least a right now match. And that's often enough for a guy. Now, there's a bunch more myths I'd love to bust with you and cover even more detail. But for now, the best thing for you to do is to get the real facts on all of these. If you'd like to know the real reasons that guys avoid relationships and how to get him to desperately want your love and your commitment in a relationship, it's easy enough to do when you understand what guys are thinking. Go on over to datingadviceguru.com/foreveryours. That's datingadviceguru.com/foreveryours, one word. And I'll give you all the information you need to know about why guys do this and how you can find those guys, which really is most guys, who do want a long-term committed relationship and they're not commitment phobic, and how you get past that barrier with almost any guy in your life. Go on over to datingadviceguru.com/foreveryours, and this is Carlos Cavallo. I'll be back again next week with more great stuff for you.
DatingAdviceGuru.com, the Dating Advice Guru podcast and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at www.datingadviceguru.com, on the forum, or click the Ask Carlos link on the site. We welcome your comments and questions.